Welcome to On the Money right here on News 96.5 WDBO. On the Money brought to you by Certified Financial Group, where they're answering your questions this morning, 844-220-0965. That's the number you got to call to get your questions answered, 844-220-0965. On the Money and Certified Financial Groups are one of the oldest and largest independent financial planning firms in the area, and they have CFP professionals. More than 300 years of combined experience providing financial planning and asset management. If you've got questions, 844-220-0965 or text us at 21232. This morning we have Joe Burt and Harry Stadelmeyer. And guys, we're talking about the midterm elections and why they shouldn't have your portfolio scared, huh?
Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you did that very well.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Tell Kyle to stay home.
All right.
Good to be here this morning. Yeah, Harry and I are here to answer your questions while we're not counting ballots here. Harry, you got the ballots here?
I found another 20,000, Joe, overnight.
So we're here to, when we're not counting ballots, we're going to answer your questions, your personal finance questions, as they may revolve around things that you're deciding about your 401k and maybe an IRA and stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, long-term health care, IRAs, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all that and more. We do financial planning for a fee at Certified Financial Group. We also manage clients' money for a fee at Certified Financial Group. And on Saturday morning here, we are absolutely free. So if you have any questions regarding your personal finances as they might relate, just pick up the phone and dial those magic numbers. And those numbers are, again, 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. And the text number is 212-32, 212-32, and I see we already have some calls there, Laurel, so let's hit it. Okay.
Oh, she's still on
the phone, I see, but we have a call coming in from, it looks like, Bill. Right, Laurel? No, she's still on the phone there. We'll get this. We are in the new studio, folks. This is live radio, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
That's all right, Laurel.
What he wants to talk about. So,
that's
Bill.
Okay, let's talk to Bill.
Bill.
Good morning, Bill. What's up?
Good morning.
Passing shower. That wasn't you, Bill. Let's try again.
All right.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear
you.
Yeah,
Bill.
All right. I have a condo, and it's a non-homesteaded condo, and I live with my wife in another neighborhood, but every Wednesday I go to my condo to run on the beach and check my mail and do my laundry. But we want to sell it and buy another condo at some place up north to escape the Florida heat in the summer. So I have three questions for you. Number one, can I roll this over and avoid capital gains tax? Number two, how long do I have to do this to avoid capital gains? And number three, let's say I bought the condo for $60,000 some time ago, and I sell it for $150,000, and then I manage to buy a property up north for, say, $125,000. Would I be still subject to capital gains tax on the difference, which would be $25,000? So those are my three questions.
All right. Good questions. You're kind of, in fact, what you are doing is you're referring to the law that we had in place years ago when you could sell a home and take that profit and roll into another home and pay no taxes. Your condo that you have is not your primary residence. So in that case, you cannot defer the taxes as you could on your primary residence. If you sell your primary residence and it's your primary residence for two of the last 5 years, married, filing a joint return, you can defer up to $500,000 in gain. On your condo, your second home, that doesn't apply. Now, a way to avoid the taxation on the condo is to do what's called a 1031 exchange. You familiar with that term?
No.
Okay. It's what's called a Starker exchange, a three-corner exchange. And what it allows you to do is to buy another investment property. It doesn't have to be a condo. It could be raw land. It could be an apartment. It could be a store. It could be anything. And that allow you to defer that gain. However, I'm not sure that this property was an investment property. You used it for your personal use?
Yes, I occupied it full time until my marriage, and then since my principal address is my wife's address at another place.
I couldn't take the bet on it. Well,
how long
have you been living in your wife's house?
About 8 years now.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
I know where you were going, Joe.
And the house that you're living in is not in your name. The house that you're living in is in your wife's
name? That's correct. It's not in my name.
Well, I'd want you to see a CPA about that. You might be able to claim, well, you know, it really isn't your primary residence, but it is your only residence. And you just go there and you live with your wife occasionally in her house.
Well, I live with my wife most of the time.
Yeah, okay, so and
once a week I go to my place.
Yeah, let me ask this question. Your driver's license, what address is on that driver's license?
My condo address.
And it's been your condo address? And how about your voting? Where do you vote?
I vote at my wife's address.
Well, okay. You've got kind of a gray situation there. I would get together with a CPA and have him or her go over the facts in detail, and there may be a way for you to use that as your primary residence, because you currently don't have a primary residence. You're living with your wife, and it's her house in her name, and you've had that property, and your driver's license is there. However, you're voting in your wife's district, that may not work. There's probably some area there that I'm not conversing with. I don't want to give you some bad information, Bill, but it's a kind of a... What do you think, Harry?
No, I agree. The 1031 exchange is an option, but it is a very... you have to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed prior to. You have to have a qualified intermediary involved, but it would be an option. But
well,
I agree.
I'm not sure, though, because it's not an investment property.
Oh, that's right. You're right, because
yes.
It was at one point. It was. You're right.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
That's right. You lived there for a while.
Yeah.
So that option is pretty much out. So I agree with Joe. You're in the gray area there.
You raise a lot of good questions that we
buying this my condo and buying another one somewhere else. It wouldn't apply here.
No. Yeah, what you're confusing is the old rule.
Tax law. Yeah.
Yeah, the old tax law where you can roll over the gain on your house and avoid the taxation on it. That doesn't work like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. That's not no longer the.
That's no longer there. That's no longer there. Yeah. The only thing that's out there is if it's possible for you to claim it as your primary residence for two of the last 5 years. But
can't do that I'm not living there.
Okay, then that's out the window. Yep.
So the other option is write the check.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Capital gains aren't all that bad.
No.
You know, the worst situation is 20%.
Well, 20%, right?
On the gain.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right,
I appreciate
Bill.
Your
all right. Thanks for the call.
Good luck.
So we've got some lines open, right, Laurel?
We do, and if you want to give them up, give a call, 844-220-0965. You can always text us at 21232, but we like talking to you.
We do.
844-220-0965.
And let's talk about the midterms in your portfolio, Harry. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if you did, Joe, but I received a few phone calls prior to the election on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
A little worried about the markets and how this midterm may affect the portfolio, and I found this very interesting statistic that I if you're sitting at home and you are concerned actually, there have been since World War II, since 1946, there have been 18 midterm elections.
Mm-hmm.
In every single one, let me repeat that, that's a 100%, 12 months after the midterm, the markets were as high as 17%. Not in every 18, but in all 18 they were up, some as much as 17%.
So what you're saying is in all cases, a year later, the market was higher than at the election time.
18 out of 18.
So what you're saying is if past performance is any future prognostication of what may happen in the future, rest easy this year because things will be better a year from now.
Absolutely. And that statistic, 18 for 18, I like that batting average. So if you're sitting at home thinking, what a mess, oh my, I think the markets look at the election and then they focus on what's important, and that's earnings, corporate earnings.
Yeah, and as we saw right after Election Day, the Dow was up 530-some points and, swallowed all that anxiety and fear that people had about what's going to happen because if the Democrats get in and yada, yada, yada. And there you go. What the market, what investors don't like is uncertainty.
Correct.
It's uncertainty. And so once that was settled, now we move forward and try to make something out of this situation.
And if you look at some of the indicators that we look at from an economic standpoint, very strong. We have unemployment, we have rising wages. There are a lot of good things going on in the market, and that's what the market really focuses on long term, not the noise from the short term. But as Joe said, the uncertainty is what scares people, makes them maybe make irrational decisions. Warren Buffett once said that if you mix politics and investing, you're making a big mistake.
Yep.
Big mistake. So separate that, look at your long-term plan, and stay the course.
And don't look at your rich statements. That's, you know, because people look at that. And, you know, the thing that you probably see and I see is, particularly with new clients, is they lived through 2008, 2009, and they see a decrease, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 points, and they think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to live through this again. And if you look at the economic situation that we were in 10 years ago and where we are today, it's 180 degrees right. removed.
Correct.
In terms of, as you said, unemployment, consumer confidence, everything, manufacturing, it's everything is far 180 degrees removed from where we were 10 years ago. But nevertheless, you're going to have these daily, weekly, monthly fluctuations in the market simply because that's what markets done. That's what they've always done.
Right. Joe, I have a great example. I know we're almost up against the break, but I had some clients in on Thursday mm-hmm. that had been out up in the mountains in North Carolina for about last 40 days. They just got back.
Living in the woods?
Living in the woods.
Right.
I mean, you know, no Wi-Fi.
Totally disconnected
from the world. He took one of his statements with him. My point in all this is he just got back and he said, well, it looks like we're down a little bit, but not much. He completely avoided October, didn't see what happened in October, and he was probably one of the few that just went, oh, so we're doing okay, right? when other folks are, you know, looking at the day-to-day, and all it does is create, you know, stomach problems.
Right.
And,
well, as you know, we're as much investment managers as we are behavioral coaches.
And yes.
That's what it takes. All right, we're going to come back after the break.
We are, and if you want to get in on the phone calls, we have open lines 844-220-0965. That's the number to call on in, 844-220-0965. This is On the Money right here on News 96.5 WDBO.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Certified Advisory Corp is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements.
Welcome back. You are listening to On the Money right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We're here talking to you about your financial life, about savings, about retirement, about mutual funds, whatever you got questions on, 844-220-0965. We've got some open lines, so take advantage of that, 844-220-0965. Here with Joe Burt and Harry Stadelmeyer. And guys, we've got Scott on the line.
All right. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. All right. So my question is, I'm going to be opening up a handyman business in about 6 months from now. And I've already got all the equipment. I've got everything I need, my EIN and LLC. But I want to start stocking some money away so I can get a better interest rate than what my bank is offering.
Mm-hmm.
1.3% is kind of an embarrassing amount.
Right.
So what would be a good way to invest it without the possibility of having humongous loss as well?
There's none. There's none.
That's
the challenge that everybody has, because you want to be sure in 6 months from now that money is there, right?
Right.
Right. And that's the challenge that you have. If you want the guarantees that you can get in a CD, in a savings account, in a treasury bill, something that's guaranteed, you've got to accept a low interest rate. And that's the trade-off for a guarantee. And you're smart to not invest it because 6 months from now, who knows where that money will be in terms of value if you invest it in the market. Even in bonds, you run the risk that rising interest rates, the value of those bonds will be less. So what you have to do, what you have to do is really shop, and you're not going to get much of a return, unfortunately.
Scott, I want a quick question. Are you talking about the money that you have set aside for your business, or are you talking about long-term retirement money putting aside?
My long-term retirement money, I already have in a SEP IRA and a Roth IRA.
All right, beautiful.
So I'm putting, this is money like my, so initially starting up the business, I know that I'm going to probably need at least 6 months of bills saved up. So that's what I'm trying to put away, and I still want it in an account that I could possibly continue to add money to.
Yeah, you know, if you open this, if you open an investment account and decided you wanted to maybe do something a little more aggressive on October 1st, you wouldn't be real happy right now, because that money would be, you know, 8 or 9% less. And you know, I always tell clients, if it's not 2 year money, it belongs, and there's a purpose for that money within, say, the 2 years, that money, and it's earmarked for something other than long-term investing, that money needs to stay, A, liquid, and I know it's not a lot, and the banks aren't paying a lot, but it's there for you.
Okay.
All right, Scott, don't run away. Scott, don't run away. I want to know about your business. What's your background?
Mostly plumbing and irrigation, and I am seeing a massive lack of irrigation professionals out in the Lake County, Polk County area, and the few companies out there that are available charge enormous rates.
You've been working for another irrigation company, you're going out on your own, is that what you're doing?
That's exactly what's going on.
Got it, okay. Well, best wishes to you. I appreciate the call, but you want to keep that money safe and sound. Unfortunately, there's no attractive alternatives today for short-term money.
And, Scott, keep funding that SEP. If you're a sole proprietor, that SEP, you keep putting money into that plan.
Well, I fully intend on retiring probably between 58 and 62, so I've been trying to max it out every year.
Well, you know, are you going to be a sole proprietor, and you're not going to have any employees?
I'm only going to have two 1099 assistants.
Okay. You may want to look at what's called a Uni-K. It's a one-man, one-person 401k that allows you to put substantial amounts of money away and easier than putting it in a SEP. Because, as you know, a SEP is a percentage of your income, whereas a Uni-K, you can take the money right off the top and combine that with a profit-sharing plan. When you get rolling in this business, you can put over $50,000 a year in pre-tax in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, and a Uni-K, is that something that I can, that any one of the financial officers would be able to offer me?
Some do a better job than others. You may want to Google it. We do it for our clients. You give us a call at our office, but, yeah, that's out there and available to you. What you don't want to do is get hooked up with an insurance company, that will try to put you in some straitjacket kind of plan. You want some, what we call open architecture. We have a lot of different choices. And it's just like a regular 401k.
And do you guys offer, if I were to transfer like my SEP IRA over to you guys, and you would be able to manage it as well?
We do it. Sure. Call Harry on Monday morning at our office. That's 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE. Or go to our website, financialgroup.com, and give Harry a call on Monday, and he does that all the time.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Good luck to you, Scott. Good luck.
All right, and that's Certified Financial Group, by the way, in case you missed the business name. The Certified Financial Group, this is On the Money, right here on News 96.5 WDBO, and we've got a whole half an hour left to talk to you about things like we just talked to Scott about, right? About your retirement, about funds, about savings, about taxes, whatever you got going on. 844-220-0965. Again, 844-220-0965. On the Money, right here on News 96.5 WDBO.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to
Welcome
rock.
Back. This is On the Money right here on News 96.5 WDBO. You join Certified Financial Group, who's been on the air for decades and decades, answering your money questions. Harry Stadelmeyer and Joe Berter here of Certified Financial Group to answer your questions. 844-220-0965. Again, the number to call in, open lines now, 844-220-0965. All right, guys, and we got two callers on the line here, but Diane is first.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Diane.
So I have a question for you. First, thank you for your time. My father recently passed away, and a few years ago we set up a trust. I'm the trustee. My mother was, you know, ill, had dementia, so we were trying to do things provisionally to be able to, as they got older, to take care of them. Sadly, I lost my father last month, so I guess he passed with a broken heart. So the thing is, we had the property deeded to the trust.
Okay.
So my question is, when obviously when I sell the home, the proceeds would go directly into the trust, but just wondering about taxation issues on that. What do I need to expect? Or are there any? Because I don't know.
Okay, the property was deeded into the trust.
Yeah, so the
Was it an irrevocable trust or a living trust?
Irrevocable.
Irrevocable.
I guess I don't know. Well, that's a good question. Yeah. I thought so. I mean,
did it have its own? Did it have its own tax ID number when it was transferred?
I think so.
What was the name on the trust? How was the trust? Let me see.
It's titled as the family name Legacy Trust.
Legacy Trust. That doesn't tell me much.
Okay, but it doesn't say it's an irrevocable trust for such and such, such and such.
I don't think I've seen the word irrevocable.
Okay.
So I guess maybe I'm concerned is what does that mean?
Well, can't change anything.
Well, yeah, and if it was irrevocable, that means that the irrevocable trust took over the basis that your father had, which means that you avoid the gains. If he kept it in a living trust, basically there's no shouldn't be much if any taxation at all on the sale. Because the trust owned it. In essence, your father still owned it till he died. It was in the trust with the provision that's automatically going to pass to the survivors. My guess is that's probably what happened. So in that case, when you sell the property, if it is in fact a living trust, this is where you need to see your attorney, but if it's in fact a living trust, the trust maintain your father, there's no taxes on the sale.
So I'm the trustee, and this happened a while back, and one time I called because my father had investments, you know, they had it very conservative because he's older, you know, they're nervous, whatever. And I said, that's fine, Daddy, we don't have to do anything aggressive, whatever, just let it kind of, basically it's taking a nap, it's
right.
Not doing anything. So they made me the trustee,
yeah.
And then one time I called and I had a question, yeah. And I said, well, what do I do as the trustee? And they said, Diane, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, well,
as
trustee, because you're the trustee.
Unless it was irrevocable,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't think it
yeah.
was.
Yeah,
I don't think it was. Now that I'm not. I think the will might have been irrevocable.
No.
Like,
no,
in other words,
no,
don't
no.
contest the will because this is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, that's
everything. And the will saying everything goes to the trust.
Yeah.
And I'm the trustee. I guess was that his roundabout way of giving me everything?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Are you the beneficiary of the trust?
Yes, I mean I am the sole person.
Yeah, you're the beneficiary of the trust. So you, so what happens? What
happens?
Yeah, what happens? What happens is you get that property at the value at death, and you can sell it. And if there's no gains from the time he died, the time you sell it, you don't have any taxes to pay.
There's no gains. The house has probably gone down $30,000 in value.
Well, that's easy then. No, you probably won't owe a dime.
Yep.
Okay.
But
I'm just kind of, you know, this is all kind of crazy, and I'm like, I don't know what to anticipate. I have a very nice gentleman who's been the financial person over the trust, but basically we've not done anything and left it kind of in a, you know, status quo situation just because of my father's worries, you
sure,
know, he's
sure.
just an older person,
sure.
And that was fine, and we just stayed in touch, and he says, you know, we're just going to let the sleeping dog lie because your daddy's just he's afraid, you know, he's 86,
sure.
He was like afraid, you know.
I understand, and that's fine. My guess is that it was a revocable trust, a living trust, and you inherited the property, you can sell it, and have no taxes due.
Okay.
That's my quick read on this. That's my, now don't, you know, you may not necessarily want to take this to the bank, but that's my quick read on this. Unless
okay, that's kind of, I guess when you say irrevocable, may I ask one more question? What does that mean?
That means once those assets were placed in the trust, your father could no longer do anything. He gave it away. It means you revoke all rights to the property, and he put you totally in charge. Now, if the assets were in there and your father said, you know, I don't want Diane as a trustee anymore, I want to change the beneficiaries, then that's a different deal.
Okay, so I don't think he... I don't know. I guess I need to ask my attorney.
Well, yeah, that's what I definitely do. Or look in the trust and see if the word irrevocable is in there.
Right.
That's the easiest way to do it.
And typically, if it is irrevocable, it's in the title of the trust. It's the irrevocable trust for, and if that's not there, there's good chance it's not irrevocable.
Yeah, that's my guess.
And does that mean I'm still in control, I guess, of everything?
Yes,
I mean,
very much
so. Yes. Oh, yeah, without question. You're in charge.
Well, it's one of the things I'd rather have him.
I understand. I'm sorry for your loss. Yeah. I understand. But
Diane,
it sounds like your dad did some planning, which is good.
Diane, we have an estate planning attorney that is right next door. She's very, very good. If you're kind of nervous about the advice or direction you're going, give our office a call. I'd be happy to give you her number. She may charge you, a little bit of money to look at, but she can kind of hold your hand and walk you through this whole process if that's what you'd like to do.
Give Harry a call on Monday, yeah. Diane, 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE, and we'll be glad to put you in touch with her. And she's very, very reasonable.
Very good.
And she'll do a good job for you.
Don't worry, this is all very,
they don't teach you the stuff in school.
Overwhelming, really.
And you only deal with it once in a lifetime, and you're dealing with sorrow on top of the financial situations. You don't want to do anything wrong, and you don't want to get sideways with the IRS. I understand completely. So that's why you need to seek professional help, get it done, and put this behind you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on. Thank you, Diane. That was an awesome question. Now we're going to go to Rod, who's been very patient on the line. All right, Rod.
Good morning, Rod. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
Okay, just turned 70 and a half this year. So I've got my first withdrawal that I have to take out. As if I read it correctly, I have until December to do that. And my current fiduciary... has on their website on my account, click here to withdraw this. I guess I have to add up what my tax bracket is. But what I have mutual funds, stocks, and bonds. So where are they going to take that money out of, like which account, or do they take the oldest stocks or oldest mutual funds first? Where are they going to take that money out of my account?
Rod, let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, your custodian should have – basically, your withdrawal is based on what the value of your account was worth on December 31st of 2017, last year. So it's not a situation where you look at your tax bracket and you pull out a certain amount. There is a fixed number that your custodian should tell you, this is what you need to withdraw before December 31st of this particular year. So that's step one. You need to know what that number is. As far as where would you like to pull it, that's really kind of up to you. They're not going to make that decision for you. You probably, if your money is all tied up and you don't have any cash in that retirement account, you're going to need to tell them, hey, if the withdrawal amount is $5,000, you're going to need to tell them where you would like that money to come from. Which investment? That's your decision, not theirs. They can't go in and start making assumptions and, messing with your account. So, but first of all, you need to know exactly what that number is, and that number was established on December 31st of last year.
And you don't have to take it out of one of the assets. You could prorate it
across
the board if you want to do that. And Rod, you haven't until December 31st, but because you turned 70 and a half this year, you can defer that first withdrawal until April 1st of next year, if you want. And then you have to take another one for December 31st next year. So depending on your tax situation, depending on your employment situation, it may make sense to defer this withdrawal until April 1st. Not April 15th, but April 1st of next year.
And I read that also, but would it be a better tax advantage to take the withdrawal this year and then another one next year?
Well, if you're going to be in a lower tax, it depends on how much you're withdrawing. It depends on your tax bracket this year and your tax bracket next year. Because if you take it out next year, you got to take two hits. So I don't know how much you have to take out. Do you want to tell us? What's the withdrawal?
I don't know. It's a hyperlink. It says, withdraw here, but I haven't clicked on it. It's probably going to tell me more information once I click on that hyperlink, but
You want to tell us your account value roughly, and we can tell you how much you have to take out roughly.
Yeah, well, that one's about, it does have a money market account in there, about $600K.
$600K. So you're looking at about almost $24,000 you got to take out.
Okay. Is there any advantage to take out a little bit this year and a little bit next year?
Well, it depends on what your tax situation is going to be this year and next year. So what your tax bracket is. So what you have to do is play with some numbers. Are you still working?
No, retired, fully retired.
Okay, and that's your, and then you've got Social Security. You have a pension.
I have social and a pension. Sir.
Okay,
so your situation is not going to change from this year to next year. Is that accurate?
Absolutely not.
Okay, then I would pull some this year and pull some next year. Otherwise, you'd have to pull two next year.
Yeah.
So get it out of there this year.
Yes, that's okay. Same thing, Rod. Take it out this year.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Okay, good luck.
Great show. And thanks for all you do.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, we got a couple of minutes, so let's sneak Mary in here.
Mary, you're sneaking in, Mary. I see you coming.
Right here.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you.
What's up?
Good morning. Great show.
Quick question.
I'll try to make this fast. I homestead on my paid home. I have a non-homestead land with mobile we sold. And our net income zeroes out to about $2,400 a year because of losses. Do I have to pay capital gain on that land? I think it nets out at about $15,000 we made on it. I don't pay taxes because we net out. We only get taxed on our pension, which is only about $5,400 a year.
Yeah. My guess is that you're not going to have any capital gains taxes.
We didn't even know if we even have to report it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you should report it, but you won't have any capital gains taxes because you're in a 0% tax bracket.
Okay. Yep, That's my question. Thank you, and thank you for what you do.
0 to 38,000 is in the 0 bracket.
Yep.
So, yep, you should be fine.
Thank you.
All right, Mary, thanks for the call. You know, one of the things, Laurel, that I wanted to mention, you know, Harry and I have been taking calls here for the last 49 minutes or so, and we really enjoy the calls that we get from our listeners across Central Florida. You know, we are one of the call-in shows. We take live calls, and we always don't know the answer. If we don't know the answer, we'll research it. Unlike some of these financial shows, they are really one-hour infomercials, and we are not an infomercial. We are here to give info to you. So this is how we're different in what we do as Certified Financial Group, as Certified Financial Planners. We've been doing this at Certified Financial Group. We got been there for 40 years, right, Harry?
Yeah. I've been there 32 of them.
but this is what we do day in and day out for our clients. We charge our clients for a fee for our services in designing a retirement plan to show you what you need to do when it comes time to retire, how to turn that savings and investments into paychecks for your life, and how to avoid the mistakes that we see coming in, walking in the door, and to avoid that situation where you look back and say, gee, I wish I'd have known this 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The toughest cases that Harry and I work on are clients that retire and don't seek professional help before they retire, and they come in to see us 5 or 6 years into retirement, and the wheels are coming off, and they need to make some major lifestyle changes. So if you're at or near retirement age, it's time to get professional help, somebody that will do this for a fee, not somebody that's going to offer to do a plan for you for free. That's a come on. Do it. Somebody that's going to charge you a reasonable, and the way we do it, right, Harry? Tell them how we do it. And when client comes in the office, what's the first thing we do?
We want to know as much about you as we possibly can. That doesn't mean your bank account and your investment portfolio and how much money you have set aside. We want to know if your wills are up to date. Do we need a trust? What's your auto insurance look like? What's your debt situation? Tell us about your children. Are they going to college? Do we need college funding? We'll talk about a lot of things other than your bank account because we need to see the big picture. It's not just about putting XYZ stock into XYZ investment. It's about the big picture. And so if you're at or near, the way it starts is you come in, we do a little profile on you, question. It's a question and answer. It's a get-to-know session. And at that point, we'll quote you a fee and say for us to do a financial plan for you, it'll cost X amount of dollars, and this will be the roadmap for cash flow for the rest of your life. We look at where you'll be in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, and ultimately what are your children going to inherit. And it's probably the best investment you can make because it's peace of mind. It's knowing that you have a plan in place, and the plan can be updated each and every year. Because things will happen. Yes, we can't foresee what the markets are going to do the next 20 years, but we can look at an average. So That's really, really important, and that's one of the most important things that we do, as well as wealth management.
Yep. All right, we got to take a break, right, Laurel?
We do. Right. So if we've got one more segment coming up. If you think you can sneak in with your money question, come on in. We've got open lines, so it could be you. 844-220-0965. 844-220-0965. This is On the Money right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Welcome back. You've been listening to On the Money right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We've only got a few minutes left, so we are going to fire through these phone calls. All right. Rasheed, you're first up on the air on the Money. How you doing?
Rasheed, what's up?
Good morning. How are you? Great show this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a question. I recently switched jobs, and my new company does not offer 401k, and I have a good amount, but I don't mind sharing the amount that I have. House is paid off, cars are paid off, two kids have the 529 program in place for them, so they're all set. But that money that I have on my 401k, I really don't know what to do with it. Should I just put it on an IRA, or should I do a whole life insurance?
No!
Whoa, whoa.
No, stop there. You don't want to do that.
No, don't. Sorry, we got a little worried there. You do have several options. One of the most popular is to certainly you can leave it with the company, your old company. I know your new one doesn't have any, but you can leave it if you'd like. Most people will go ahead and do a rollover, a direct rollover of the funds into an individual IRA account. Continues tax deferred, and you can continue investing as you would like to, and that's most popular.
Rasheed, give us a call on Money. That's what we do. Certified Financial Group, 407-869-9800, or on the web at financialgroup.com.
This is News 96.5.
WDBO.
Where Orlando turns first for breaking news, weather, and traffic 24 hours a day.
And it starts now.